Through him, I met other struggling artists, like Joe Delaney, a veteran painter from Knoxville, Tennessee. Often, Joe lacked food money, so he'd visit a neighborhood butcher who would give him big bones with small pieces of meat, and a grocer who would hand him some withered vegetables. That's all Joe needed to make his favorite soup. Another village neighbor was a handsome young singer who ran a struggling restaurant. Rumor had it that if a customer ordered steak, the singer would dash to a supermarket across the street to buy one. His name was Harry Belafonte. People like Delaney and Belafonte became role models for me. I learned that you had to make sacrifices and live creatively to keep working at your dreams. That's what living in the Shadowland is all about. As I absorbed the lesson, I gradually began to sell my articles. I was writing about what many people were talking about then: civil rights, Black Americans, and Africa. Soon, like birds flying south, my thoughts were drawn back to my childhood. In the silence of my room, I heard the voices of Grandma, Cousin Georgia, Aunt Plus, Aunt Liz, and Aunt Till, as they told stories about our family and slavery. These were stories that Black Americans had tended to avoid before, and so I mostly kept them to myself. But one day, at lunch with editors of Reader's Digest, I told these stories of my grandmother and aunts and cousins. I said that I had a dream to trace my family's history to the first African brought to these shores in chains. I left that lunch with a contract that would help support my research and writing for 9 years.